Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. It's my pleasure to have as our guest today Yvonne Coombs, the Executive Director and co-founder of Operation Deploy Your Dress. Yvonne and her family are stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, and her husband is currently the battalion commander of 329 Field Artillery. Yvonne has also just been named the Armed Forces Insurance 2020 Army Spouse of the Year. And I can't wait to talk to her. Yvonne, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Patty. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, and not more excited than I am, trust me. So, Yvonne, let's go ahead and start with the elephant in the room, COVID-19. How are you, your family, and the families in the battalion doing?
My family and I are doing well. We're trying to find our new normal, having three adults trying to work from home and two kids trying to do school from home. Our adult college child came home, so he's working and doing his university classes, his last semester of university classes from home. And so just trying to find our new normal, but we're doing fine. Luckily, we like each other, so it helps that we're able to spend a lot of time together. The families from the battalion, I think it's everybody's just trying to find their new normal for the foreseeable future. You know, we don't know how long this will last. And so it's not just, oh, we're going to wait this out for a week and we'll be fine. It's people truly adopting this as their new normal and figuring out how to live this way until we're not.
No, exactly. And I didn't realize, and I guess I did, that this is your son's senior year of college. And so have you gotten any information from the university as to how the graduation might play out?
Yes. So a couple of days ago, Jacob received an email from the university president. It looks like they will do a virtual commencement. And then next year, with the class of 2021, they will be invited to come back and walk with that class at that time, if they would like to walk in a physical commencement ceremony. So for some, that might not be a fun answer. I think it's the best answer that they could give right now. We're pleased with them having both of those options for the students. Jacob will be living in DC, so he'll probably go back and do the commencement ceremony. He said that next year is like George Washington University's 200th birthday or something like that. So he said it might be a blessing in disguise, because I think they'll probably do it up pretty big for that commencement. So I'll be allowed to walk in it whenever I wouldn't have been otherwise. So he's fine with it. He kind of just rolls with the punches. That's just his personality anyway. So he'll be fine.
Yeah, it's very much like Jacob to make a lemonade out of lemons, for sure. And it is such a scary time. And by the time this episode airs, I'm hopeful that we're starting to see a decrease of positive tests. But, you know, that's in about 3 weeks. And I really don't know if that's the case. But let's say we're all still at home more than outside. What's the best tip that you've seen among your peers and your network that seems to work well for everyone as they try to stay connected on post?
We have very much been using video conferencing, and not just for business stuff, but just pick up the phone and FaceTime somebody just to have that face-to-face contact, that personal contact. You know, I know you can pick up the phone and call somebody. I know you can text somebody, but I think that our society was so much moving towards just, I'll send a quick text to say, how are you doing and stuff. And it's at this time nice to be able to just pick up the phone and look somebody in the eye to truly see how they're doing, because it's a lot easier to respond to a text and say, I'm fine, and not be fine, than to look somebody in the eye, even if it's over your phone or your computer, and them say, I'm fine, and you can see in their face that they're not. So I think it's important for us to continue, even though we can't have that physical contact with one another, to at least be looking each other in the face and checking on each other and saying, how are you? What can I do? And just staying connected that way.
That's a really great tip. And what about your FRGs? Are you all trying to have update meetings in a certain type of way, or has the FRG kind of like tamped down a bit during this time?
So the FRG, we've not done any virtual meetings yet. Our service members have only been home for about a week and a half, so we're still trying to figure out how to go about navigating this life here on post, and that includes through our SFRGs as well in this manner. I think that virtual FRG meetings could be great. I know the installation has been doing a bunch of virtual town halls almost daily, even if the updates aren't major, just to give any update. And I think it's good for people to see their leadership face-to-face, not panicking and giving their information and stuff. So I think doing virtual SFRG meetings would be a great point. So I'm glad you said that because we're probably going to look into that. But really just encouraging our SFRG leaders to touch base with people, especially if we know that we had some higher risk family members, just touch base and make sure that everything is okay and let them know that we're here for them during this.
I have heard that throughout the entire Army, the garrison commanders have really stepped up and tried to do a daily town hall, or at the very minimum, you know, every few days, which is great. And I think you're right. People at this point just need to have the information, and it kind of helps keep everybody calm for sure. Let's go on to another fun topic if we can. And let's talk about, we'll talk about Operation Deploy Your Dress, our very favorite organization. So give us the story of its beginnings and tell us where you are now.
Operation Deploy Your Dress began back in late December of 2015 with the Army spouses. We wanted to help out our units that were having balls coming up. We wanted to help boost the attendance in general, but really help boost the attendance of the junior soldiers and their family members. We were seeing that they weren't attending balls as much as we would like for everybody to be able to attend balls. And we were finding that it wasn't because they didn't want to go, but it was because they couldn't always afford to go. And so we decided to collect some dresses and hand them out at a community center on post, received a bit of national media attention that made it explode a lot quicker than we thought it was going to be. Instead of collecting a couple hundred dresses, we collected a few thousand dresses, and our garrison commander stepped up and said, hey, use this empty space that used to be a gift shop, distribute your dresses, let's help this community. And from there, we kind of just grew. We've grown to 7 shops now in installations around the country. And we have 2 more that are being worked on and would be ready to open in the spring, but might be delayed a little bit because of what we have going on with COVID-19. But we will get them open. And we also, as you know, Patty, host an amazing pop-up event every year at the AUSA headquarters there in Arlington, Virginia, which is hands down my favorite thing to do every year because we're able to serve so many military families in one day. So yeah, that's what we're doing. We're constantly looking at places to expand and ways to help more military families. And we just have fun. And so it's easy to do something that you have fun doing.
You know, Yvonne, I have to admit, it's so much fun. And we love it when you guys come to DC and hold your pop-up event at AUSA headquarters. And that's really led us to do even more together. And we've been really honored to be going into our 2nd year of a teaming agreement with you. And what a teaming agreement is, for those that are listening, is an opportunity for us to support Operation Deploy Your Dress as they do the pop-up event in Washington, D.C., but also when they have grand openings at other installations. And it really has been so much fun. And especially, as you know, Thea Green, my program manager, has really taken the lead on AUSA support of the teaming agreement. And she just has a ball whenever she goes out there with you all. So let's talk about the pop-up event and what's happening in 2020.
Yep. So the pop-up event was scheduled to happen on April 25th of this year. That is not going to happen on April 25th of this year, but it's, again, such a great event. Not just a great time, but we are able to serve so many military families at one time in the National Capital Region that we knew it couldn't just be canceled. So we have postponed it, not canceled it. We've postponed it to the fall, where we're hopeful that COVID-19 will not be something that is affecting our daily lives anymore, and we can put this great event on with you guys. So we've now postponed it to September. The planning is still going forward with it, and I think it may be the best one yet, just because I think sometimes whenever you have to overcome a hurdle or overcome some kind of obstacle in your way, you work harder to make something even better. And I think that might be the case with this.
Let me now go on to congratulate you for being named the Armed Forces Insurance 2020 Army Spouse of the Year. I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. I'm excited. For our listeners who might not know what this award is all about, can you explain it just a little bit?
Yeah, the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year program, they call it MSOI, is a program that Armed Forces Insurance has recently taken over within the last few years. And it was started to just shine a light on what military spouses do around our armed forces and to give those spouses a bit of a platform to continue to do good and do it with a little bit of a light shined on them so that they can do it in a grander way. I can't speak for the people who started it, but I could imagine they couldn't even fathom the amount of fire that gets lit under military spouses when they are brought into this MSOI family. I joined the MSOI family 2 years ago when I was first nominated for Military Spouse of the Year. I made it to the top 18, did not get selected as the Army Spouse of the Year or the Military Spouse of the Year, but everybody from the base level winners to the top 18, to the branch level winners, to the overall winner, it truly just lights a fire under you. I've said to many people that none of us, or most of us, I would say, don't do what we do for the recognition and for the spotlight. But when you do receive a spotlight or a recognition, you want to do more and you want to do it better. And at least that's how I feel. And so I'm excited to be a part of this program. I'm excited to see what this year holds for us. And even beyond that, what I'm able to do with this title at my side.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see. I mean, Yvonne Coombs just on a regular day is amazing. Just light a fire under her and look out, world. But Yvonne, if you wouldn't mind maybe sharing some of the personal story that you had to share with the nomination team and what you hope that you can do with this platform that you've been given, I think our audience would really be really interested.
Absolutely. So for me, Operation Deploy Your Dress is the organization that I've co-founded, the organization that I help run and keep going on a daily basis. And that is my volunteerism that went into my profile for this award. But my platform is really about building community in military installations in your military experience. I've said before that this life is difficult, but can be very fun if you have the right people to go through it with. It's not fun to do this life alone. And this past year in 2019, my family learned that the hard way. We learned that the community that we had built for the past 18 plus years in our military life experience was really needed this past year. Our oldest son, who is now 22, but at the age of 21, was diagnosed with testicular cancer at the beginning of 2019. My husband's battalion command time, which was supposed to take place in July of 2019, got accelerated and he was scheduled to move in January of 2019 instead. So at the same time that we found out that my son was diagnosed with cancer, we were living in DC and he was going to get treated at the amazing Walter Reed Hospital. We were being told, nope, it's time for you to move and your husband's going to take command. He's going to deploy. You guys are going to go to a new state that you've never been to before. And this is the Army life. And nobody was saying it in a mean way or deal with it. But that's our life. That's what we signed up to do. And so we were going to move on and deal with it. But instead, my husband moved by himself to Colorado. My boys and I stayed in DC so that we could be by our older son's side while he went through battling cancer. The good news is he's a strong-willed kid. So as difficult it is to raise a stubborn child, it's great whenever you're going through something like this because he wasn't going to let it hold him down. So he came through it all. It was great. We packed up our house and moved in June of 2019 and came to Colorado once he had finished all of his chemo treatment and everything. And then a few months later, unfortunately, with my husband still deployed, younger son, number two of two, ended up coming down with a very, very bad bacteria infection, which ended up attacking his entire body and was hospitalized for 10 days where we thought for a few days that he might not make it. So it was my military community, my military family that helped me through all of this. You know, my husband was able to be there and call and check on us and see how things were doing, but it was my military friends, my military sisters, and my military brothers that were bringing me food, that were coming by and saying, what can I do? Or even coming by and not saying, what can I do? But this is what I'm going to do to help you. And, you know, without them, I'm so far away from my biological family, my blood relatives. I don't know what I would have done. But even when I first moved to Colorado and I had only been here a couple of months and dealing with the severe health crisis of another child, I had already built a military community around me that was ready to step up and help and do whatever I needed at a moment's notice. So this is why that's my platform. I know sometimes I've met military spouses that are like, it's just my service member's job. It's not my life. I do my own thing, which I get and I understand. But it's important to at least plug in and have, even if it's a small military community around you, people who understand and know what you're going through and live that life with you so that you can not only survive, but thrive through all of it.
You know, it's an amazing story. And the fact that I happen to know you and your family is even more poignant for me, because your two boys are absolutely exceptional kids. And it's so terrible when something like that happens. And then it happens when the soldier is not there. It just seems to be that way. Thinking that now with this national crisis where we're all going through the same thing together, it really gives a window into what our life is like as a military family. You know, it's such a shared experience that will define us for quite some time. So hopefully people can learn from the strengths and the resilience of military families, because we certainly have been through an awful lot in different ways, but through an awful lot. Yvonne, it's just been such a pleasure to speak with you. Anytime I get to talk to you, I'm happy. But do you have any last thoughts before we close?
I think I would like to just go back to what you just said about right now with what we're going through with COVID-19. And I think that now more than ever is the time that our military families need that community, because so many of us, if not the majority of us, are away from our biological family. We can't just get on a plane and fly to them and hunker down and be with them while we go through this. So it is important that we have that community around us now more than ever, so that we can get through this together.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And like I said, this episode will be airing in about 3 weeks. And I don't imagine that things will be too much different, but hopefully we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. So everybody hang in there. So we've come to the end of our podcast episode. To all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. And to Yvonne, thank you for being such an amazing guest.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm so excited that we had this opportunity.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Thought Leaders. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member supported, Army connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.